This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Forget the frustration of picking commerce platforms when you switch your business to Shopify, the global commerce platform that supercharges your selling wherever you sell. With Shopify, you'll harness the same intuitive features, trusted apps, and powerful analytics used by the world's leading brands. Sign up today for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/tech, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/tech.
I'm a big boundary person with our kids. I always have been. If it were up to Bert, they'd be like free range, throw some food on the floor and good luck, you know, and go to bed whenever you want to go to bed. You don't have to bathe for a month. I don't. You know? I got a brand new pair of roller skates. You got a brand new jeans.
Let's go.
I just start talking.
Yeah, that's what we do. Okay, yeah.
We're talking about going to bed early.
Yeah.
I love it too. Yeah. And I've been trying to get Bert on that path, which was a non-starter.
What's his bedtime?
Yeah, what are we talking about with time?
Yeah, what's late? Because late means different things to different people.
Well, see, he's changed a bit. Like until when he stopped drinking and started eating keto, he started going to bed.
Yeah. It's funny how that works.
Right?
He looks amazing.
Doesn't he?
He really, that picture was maybe the best thing that ever happened to him and probably you, where he like, sometimes you need to get shocked out of it, but that before and after is, and pretty quick too. Isn't that like this year?
Pretty quick. Yeah. He's when we got off fully loaded, which was in July, he was like, this has got to stop.
Yeah.
Yeah. And which also, to be fair, I mean, fully loaded, like
insanity.
There was no way you could get through fully loaded and come out of it like healthy and skinny. You
know? I feel so good.
Yeah.
No, I was like, I looked like by the end of it, I was like, don't take any more pictures of me.
Yeah.
I look like The Walking Dead.
Oh, stop.
And I look like bloated, and I'm not even bloated. I don't even know how. It's just the lack of sleep and the intensity and the every day you're in a different city. And
yeah. I mean, you guys particularly, we do a fraction of the travel and some of the craziness you guys do. And I feel like we're pretty tired from it. So I don't know how you guys do it.
I don't know how Bert does it.
Obviously, we all know the machine. Like, it's literally like a machine.
It's
like,
a machine.
I
it's
don't
crazy.
Know how you do it.
Yeah. So when he got off fully loaded and he was like, you know what's really interesting? I haven't really talked about this much, but he makes me go to his cardiologist appointment with him every time he goes because mm-hmm. he's so nervous he can't listen because he's pretty sure the cardiologist is going to say, you're pretty much dead.
Yeah.
So,
yeah. But he always gets a clean bill of health, right?
Yes. Until this last appointment.
Oh, wow.
Once he got healthy?
Before he got healthy.
Oh,
so we went and the doctor, every year, his doctor, Dr. Awesome, he was like, we're going to like ride this till it bucks us off pretty much.
Yeah.
So yes, I would like for you to change your lifestyle. Obviously, I can't advise you to just keep going like you are, yeah. But let's let the blood work tell us what's happening, right?
Yeah.
And there's going to come a time when you've crossed the threshold and this has to change.
Yeah.
So until that time, I'm just going to continue to advise you to change your lifestyle and then we'll just see where it goes. And the blood work came back and he was like,
now's the time.
Wow.
And Bert went, got it.
Well, that's so great though.
I wonder if Bert was, you know, he's one of those little boys that's going to push the boundary until he gets the spanking.
I know exactly what you mean.
I had a feeling. You might be a rascal that way.
He also is, I have no doubts that he can like flip the switch. I mean, he did it, right? He's eating healthy and living
totally
healthy and he lost probably 40 pounds or whatever. So it's like, I'm sure you don't want to get the bad results, but also it's like, okay. I did, and now I changed my life.
Yeah,
and
it wasn't even that the results were that bad. It's just that the change was enough that the doctor was like, if you keep doing this year after year, you're going to get bad news. No bad news now, but now it's shifted. Now you're in your 50s. Now this number's moving. This number was never moving before, and now this number's moving, so now we got to pay attention. So thank God he paid attention.
I feel like I've been seeing a lot of like celebrities and news stories of people checking out pretty early, and I'm starting to get worried.
I'm
never worried about
my life doing it.
Yeah,
I've told
how old are you?
I'm 30. I'll be 39 in March.
So young.
I know, but like,
so young.
Yeah, I know.
But it's so young. But here's the one of the changes that happened to me recently was in watching crime shows.
Mm-hmm.
They always describe it's always the suspect is always a white male mid 30s, and he always looks awful.
Yeah.
And I'm always like, that's my age. What the fuck is that, dude?
All right. Like, think about this. Okay, I'm 54. The show The Golden Girls.
Great.
Oh, well, thank you. But the show The Golden Girls, which was like huge hit, Rue McCallahan, who played one of the characters, was like 47 in that show.
And it was all about the old ladies. Of,
yes. Yeah. And this is 54, almost 54 now. It's insane how wild. Different.
There are there's so many like right? stages of your life like that where you start realizing like so and so was what when they like
exactly.
like one that makes you feel good is that Costanza was like 27.
My God.
And I'm like, that's
way
crazy.
Better than he does.
I'm doing totally. Better than that bald guy.
Yeah. Yeah.
But then there's also like when you follow sports with like I remember where I was when I the first time like a pro athlete was younger than me. And I was like, Jesus, I was long past ever achieving my dream. And I was like, well, I guess it's gone now. And now it's like, I'm older than the guys who are old.
Right.
When LeBron retires, there'll be nobody in the NBA younger than me.
Really?
Or I'll be older than everyone in the NBA.
Wow.
LeBron's the last one. There's a couple guys in baseball. I'm not sure about football. Maybe Aaron Rodgers, but I know for a fact, me and LeBron are like almost the exact same age. And I'm like, well. Yeah, that's it.
It's over. And it's over.
Yeah, like life's officially, over. Like if I ever meet any of these guys, I can say like, hey, kid, you're pretty good. You know?
Yeah,
like,
nice job, kid.
Dude, I read yesterday that Brady didn't throw a pass to a person younger than him for the last 12 years of his career. Maybe more than that. Randy Moss was the last player he threw a pass to who was younger than him.
I'm older. Older. Right, right.
And that was
interesting. Yeah, of course. I mean, he... What a freak that guy is.
So I have several questions for you guys.
Let's do it.
Do you sleep? How do you consume as much content as it seems like you consume? Like I've been watching you, and you know everything about everything.
Yeah.
How do you do that?
I lie mostly.
You lie?
No, I really have definitely perfected the art of like. I didn't watch the full game. I caught the highlights. I didn't read the full article, but I got the gist of it. I haven't seen the movie, but I know the scene you're talking about. Like stuff like that where, you know, you just need to know enough about a certain topic. But I, probably me more than him. I mean, the videos I do on social media, I try to know like everything. Uh-huh. So I really am just always.
Consuming.
Yeah. And
I was gonna
but I've been doing it long enough that I don't even. Recognize it.
You have a shortcut probably for it in your brain. Like how your brain functions and consumes is a shortcut. Because it makes me feel like a failure. I go, I am the dumbest broad on the block.
No, there's by the way, it's certainly not intelligence or smart or dumb either. It's just like, you know, your ability to consume basically like bullshit on the internet. That's I don't think of that as like a measure of, you know.
I don't know. Some of your recitations are pretty smart.
I try. I actually, the guys that we have doing security and driving us around, where he was like, is it your thing that you talk until you go out, until you lose all your breath? Because I am a loud mouth. I never stop talking. I'm always blah, 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 blah. And then when I do those videos, you have a minute and a half. And I'm like, well, I have about 17 minutes of opinions on this. So I'm like, so I try to get it all in there. But, you know, but a lot of the times it's like silly. It's silly stuff. You know, I'm not talking about, you know, curing cancer in the Middle East and stuff like that. It's, you know.
I think we're also weirdly lucky where Kevin and I have pretty different interests. So we just tell each other the stuff.
Yeah.
Like Kevin's very good at the internet and stuff like that. And I tell Tom and Kevin about movies and things like that. So we kind of both know enough about the other thing through each other.
So you cover everything between the two of you.
Yeah.
It's pretty impressive. Yeah. It really is very impressive.
No, I think we probably do. We probably don't understand how much, like the average person probably knows, like almost always when someone's like, have you seen this? Or did you hear this story? Did you see this video? And I'm like, yes, I did. And I hate to like ruin it for you. I know you thought you were going to show me something. Like we talked about that 3 weeks ago, you know? So
I've had to adapt. I was joking earlier with lying. Like most of the stuff we do, but I lie and pretend I haven't seen things too for other people.
Well, right. Like I, got
I know you're
going to
get some joy out of this. Like, I haven't seen it. What is this? Like,
show
whoa,
me.
This totally. Is crazy.
Right.
Yeah. Particularly my dad. My dad will send me stuff from 5 years ago.
Aww, this might be that's good on adorable.
Like, oh, whoa, that's crazy.
So I know you've been doing this for like 10 years, right?
Yeah, I started in 2009. John was like a little bit like months after me.
The podcast.
Was, oh, yeah, the podcast was
2013, 12.
2012.
That's a long
June
time.
Of 2012, yeah. We were pretty early to it. Yeah, it's been a long time.
How's that make you feel that you were early to it?
Well, it's weird because it's like in some ways we were early to it. In like terms of how big this has gotten, we're early to it.
Yeah.
But there was, you know, the Rogans and Bill Simmons and there's a few names that were, you know, still years ahead of us. So, right. But in terms of the grand scheme of things, we were pretty early. I was always pretty proud of that. I put my eggs in that basket and made that bet. And you know, Dave, the owner of Barstool, like never really, he didn't get it. And he was like, all right, like go do your podcast. He thought it was like a hobby. And then it became like the most important thing we do. So I was always pretty proud of being like right about that. But also sometimes I'm like, we've been doing this for like 12 years. We probably should be bigger than we are. Sometimes it's not the best to be first sometimes, you know? Because we launched so many podcasts in the years after us. Mm-hmm. And when those got launched in the podcast era, once the audience and the world was like, I want more podcasts, it was always like they would all shoot to the top of the charts and they were the new show and the shiny new toy. And we were like the old dog, you know what I mean?
Right.
So I take pride in it, but sometimes I'm like, I wish we got to launch. If you had an audience and had some juice and launched, it's probably like right around when Two Bears did, like it was just,
yes,
you know, you just skyrocket. So, and also, you know, those guys are like, unimaginably talented. So, but the first show we did also had a third member, Dan, and we did like these, and still to this day, we do it a little bit on the show. It was like crazy hypothetical questions from the internet and sports and all this stuff. And then I had a second podcast that was like more traditional podcast, just like a conversation, sitting on a couch sort of thing. And watching how they perform differently was like crazy. You know what I mean? It was like, and it's generally the same sort of conversations and the same guys, but yeah, you can have almost the same show, but people know this one and don't know that one or, and even, I don't know about Bert. I would imagine sometimes he likes doing Bertcast because it's just him and his thoughts and it's like, but this is the moneymaker over here. You know what I mean?
Yeah. It's interesting.
I remember it's so hard to get someone to do two things. If that makes sense.
Like, yeah.
I remember when I started at Barstool writing and Manzo went on vacation, a guy who wrote with Kevin on Barstool New York, and I wrote on the site called Barstool U, and I filled in for like the 2 weeks or whatever, and people liked it.
Yeah.
And then when Manzo came back, everyone was like, oh, this sucks. Fileover's gone. And I was like, no, I'm not. I'm on Barstool U.
Right. You could just, just type in a different URL, but they don't want it.
And I was like, well, fucking goddamn it.
I know. Yeah.
Read it over here, dude.
I feel that way about trying to get, you know, all right, you got to get followers on Twitter, and then you had to get followers on Instagram, and then you had to get followers on TikTok, and now you got to grow a YouTube page. And asking them, I understand it's a lot to ask, but also it's just click a button, please, you know?
Yeah.
And I'm like, if you like it here, just please like it over there too.
Yeah, right.
It changes our business radically if you just move it over there. But it is hard to get people to do that.
It is. It's a slippery slope, isn't it? Because this is free content.
Right. Yeah.
It's free for people listening, but it's not free for us.
Right.
I'm paying people to be technicians. There's two people in the room now. There's people back in LA. And so even though it's wonderful to provide something free, listening to that ad pays for what you're doing.
And that's where it's hard. It's hard to say that.
It is.
I want to scream it.
But
we've been doing this for free for 10 years. So can you just buy the thing or use the code?
Subscribe and share.
Yeah, that's all you got to do is click the button.
Help a mom out.
Yeah.
Come on.
Yeah.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Families have a lot going on. Let Ollie help manage the mental load with new cognitive health supplements for everyone 4 and up, like delicious Ollie Focus Pops or Ollie Mellow Pops for kids. And for parents, try 3 new Brainy Chews to help you focus, chill out, or get energized. Find these cognitive health buddies for the whole fam at Ollie.com. That's OLLY.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
Well, it's also been different too. I'm sure you guys have experienced this, but like we went from, the counterculture blog on the side to like this media company. And the, yeah. and the podcast went from like, oh, that's just a few guys, you know, bullshitting to like a real podcast. And so when money starts to come in and bigger guests start to come in, you know, your fans no longer think of you as like the startup that they were a part of, you know?
Right.
Like early on, Barstool fans were like, we are a part of the company. It's right. like grassroots, and we'll buy the t-shirts and we'll buy the tickets and we'll spread the word. That's a little bit harder when like you read in the paper that, you know, it sold for hundreds of millions of dollars.
Right.
Like, well, now we're not really that anymore. But some, you know, some elements of the podcast still are that. So
but
it's
Saturday's
like,
still for the boys. Right?
That's this guy right here. Right? That's all him.
How yeah. cool is that?
Yeah. I'm sorry?
I said, how cool is that?
It's awesome, Leanne.
Yeah. It's really fucking awesome. I love team names. You know, I have so many team names in our office
uh-huh.
that something, just a logo, is so inspiring.
Yeah.
And like... just makes people a community.
Yeah.
Just
yeah.
right away. Just, I have that team name.
It was very, very cool. The very first few weeks were awesome. Like they were like genuinely like what we like woke up, me and my friends woke up to like look at Twitter and see kind of like the community, like you said, like people tweeting all these crazy GIFs and stuff like that.
The early on was like the very definition of virality on the internet.
Yeah.
Where it was like,
which has been so distorted now. Like
totally.
Viral doesn't mean anything anymore.
Not at all.
Like viral, like there's like just speaking like for virality, like people at Barstool say all the time, like, oh, this tweet went viral and it has like a couple hundred thousand views, which is a lot of people. But virality means like it
embedded in culture.
Every, yeah,
right.
it yeah. became part of, like it was
the president
Charlie bit
was
my
saying
finger.
It.
Right.
Like it's viral is a major, major, major thing.
Yeah. Viral now means you got the most attention on social media for a day.
You broke the internet.
Yeah, I broke the internet.
This
was like politicians, athletes, like talk show hosts, everybody was saying Saturdays are for the boys. It like people didn't even know it was a Barstool thing at some point. It got so out of hand that it was like, hey man, Saturdays are for the boys. And I think literally Bill Clinton was saying it.
Yeah.
Like people, you know, Adam Sandler, people who have no idea who Barstool is. That's viral. That's back when it was like, you know, it's going to change your life to go viral. So
that's amazing. It's really cool that you did that.
It was fun. It was a very fun summer. It was cool. Yeah. It was like a couple of a buddy Lou who we worked with. We'd kind of just get some stuff. It's like, I think the first night I tweeted it, I was fucking hammered and didn't even like remember tweeting it. Woke up next morning. Like it, to be honest, what's crazy. We're speaking of virality. The initial tweet itself is not particularly impressive. Like it's thousands of retweets and stuff like that, but like nothing like
major.
You don't look at the numbers like, holy shit.
Yeah.
It was really what happened after that, where it was like people started, the next Saturday morning, people started tweeting me GIFs of like, it's for the boys and like, you know, like Braveheart stuff and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
And then we did
the dramatics were so funny. Like the videos that people would use of like literally movie scenes that are life and death. Yeah. Like, for the boys.
So great though.
And then we would do a few things. I forget exactly what we did, but we went cliff jumping and we'd scream it. We went skydiving. We screamed it.
Every weekend. It was like five or six weekends in a row where it was like something extreme.
We rented a yacht and just threw the girls off it.
Yeah,
oh,
that was funny. Literally
great.
Picked the girls up and threw them off. Like, it was so
the
good.
Boys.
I love it.
Which is not, obviously it's fun, but it was like, it was work and it was like something to be like, all right, what are we doing this weekend to make sure that Saturday is an event? And so people are going to talk about it every single week. And it like really worked.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't think you ever had any dreams of it working like it did, right?
I never had dreams of anything. I was just tweeting a story.
But even once it started to go, like, I think it was like, we got to do something on Saturday just because I think what we do is like, you're only going to really succeed if you like doing it.
Of course.
Like you want to do it for views and followers and ad reads and dollars and stuff, but like not really. It's just about like, I wanted to write the blog to be funny just so it was like, that was funny. And like, I think the same thing with that. Like, let's just make sure the Saturdays of the Boys thing is awesome.
Yeah.
Not like, okay, we're going to do this and then we're going to sell t-shirts and then
right.
the t-shirts are going to turn it.
It's about
none
the
of
art.
That. Yeah, it really was.
And
yeah.
To be completely honest, I notice my brain work otherwise now. And it like saddens me and like
yeah.
disappoints me. Where like I'll be like, well, if this catches on, then we can do a t-shirt, then we can do this, and we can do that. I'm like, no, fucking just do it and
yeah.
see if people like it. And then like I will also sometimes think of something. And then I hope I'm not like trying to recapture that kind of thing. But like, I'll sometimes think of something and then I'll immediately think of how it could be bigger. Mm-hmm. And it's just like, no, dude, like it's just appreciate like
it
this.
Is what it is.
Yeah.
And I have to like kind of like train myself to not think like that or right. unlearn to be like that. Because I think the most successful people probably do think like that. But I think you're having more fun like you were talking earlier where like if it's just like, I think this would be cool. And then let's see what happens like mm-hmm. that. Instead of planning the next seven steps, just right. living right there.
Just live in the moment, yeah. right? I think it's really cool that it was just a spur of the moment, toss it out there that became something really big.
Yeah.
I think one of the positives about social media and about podcasting in this kind of internet-based world is that with the decline of religion in our society, mm-hmm. it's kind of like left a big gap in community. Because if you went to church,
yep.
you at least got out of the house and saw a community. You may not hang out with them Monday through Saturday, but you saw them every Sunday. Mm-hmm. And I think podcasting is that.
Yeah.
For, that's interesting.
For people. I really do think that. So when I started my podcast, I did it for a similar reason. Because I was like, I just want to have a good conversation with people I'm interested in talking to. And I don't even want to make money.
Bert that's
makes plenty
the way
of money. Bert makes a ton of money. I don't need to make money. Right. Obviously, I need to pay my employees. But it's the conversation and the community that you share mm-hmm. with a larger community that's really, I think, can be essential to people
yeah.
who are lonely or who don't have great friends or who...
The amount of, yeah. like, first of all, what's funny about that is that's actually when the money starts coming, though, is when you do it that way.
Right,
when you
right,
do it genuinely
right.
is when there's a big
it's
audience.
Not about
and
the money, it's
yeah,
about the
but
art.
It's like, but it, but that actually, like, yeah. results in more success because you're doing it for the right reasons. But the amount of fans we have that are like always like at our live shows, being like, "You got us through a tough time," mm-hmm. Or like, you know,
that's the
I
pay.
Was going yeah. through some serious never, stuff.
That really is.
And I'm like, wow, okay, cool. Like, I'm never like, let's you know, let's go do this for the people who are. More sad out there, but it's great to know that it works for that. You
the
know?
Collateral
yeah,
of
yeah.
damage is that you positively affect other people that yeah. you have no idea and you're just being yourself.
Right.
Yeah,
that was my main thing too. I remember because we have I've seen some people on the internet and some people at Barstool have characters and they do a routine kind of. And I was like, A, I don't know if I can really pull that off. I don't know if I'm like talented enough. And B, I don't know how long I can do it that way. I'd rather just be myself. And maybe that lowers the ceiling a little bit of like where I can get, but I know I can do that forever.
Right.
I can just be myself
forever.
Right. I can just talk to him about dumb shit forever. And maybe if we scripted it or did this or that, we'd be like a little bit higher, but I don't know how long we could do that for,
right,
you know?
Right.
So I'd rather just keep it real.
The best things are kind of effortless, aren't they?
Yeah.
I read an article fairly recently at this point now, but that has stuck with me. And it kind of goes to what you were saying about like church and things like that. And it was about the death of the third place, third location. And it's about how throughout history, you had home and you had work and you always had a third location.
Mm.
Everyone always did. Be it the bar, be it the gym, be it church. And it doesn't really exist in today's
That's
society.
That's interesting.
People
that
don't really have.
Yeah.
And it was about how the internet is where people have gone to find
place.
Their
yeah.
third locations. Be it podcasts, be it gamers, be it chat rooms, whatever it is.
Right.
And I kind of took a little bit of pride, I guess, or a little bit of like, that's cool that like we've kind of created a third location for people.
Yeah. Totally.
And a place. And you know, it's an idea that exists all the time. People talk about sports as an escape or whatever, an escape. And I think often that word can be like a little overused. But like a place to not have to work or not have to care for your family.
Right.
If you call that an escape, sure. But it's just a place where you don't have responsibility.
Right. Mm-hmm. It's that 888 theory. Do you know that 888 theory?
No.
It's a theory from like the Industrial Revolution when people started working in factories. So it's 8 hours of sleep, 8 hours of work, 8 hours for whatever I want.
Mm.
So every day should be separated like that.
That's interesting.
And we don't live like that. People work 12-hour days. But if you think about that whatever I want is that third location.
Yeah.
It's church, it's the gym, it's whatever you want.
And I actually think now I know everyone, a lot of people love work from home and stuff like that. I could never be that person.
Yeah.
Because it is like the way that I see the work world happen now is like it's 24/7.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have 888. And it's not that you're always doing something, but that like you always, like that email that gets sent at 8 p.m.
Yeah.
You don't have that. I remember when I started working at Barstool and I was blogging from home. And my dad was like, you got to go somewhere.
Yeah.
And I was like, what do you mean? Like, it's so great. I get to just work at home. And he's like, you're not, it's because it's not home anymore.
Right.
It's all like blends, when the hobby becomes a job, like it's all that. He's like, it's all blends together. And I think without that third location, everything is just work now.
Yeah, you go a little crazy.
Yeah, it's one location.
Yeah.
Right. Work at home is one now instead of two.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Even though it's a different brain. And I totally relate to that.
Now I'm looking at all these people who bought the Apple Vision and I'm like, now it's all one location and it's not real.
Right?
It's like,
I always talk about this when I went to visit my friend who has two children and he had some friends over who had their children there. And they were playing with an Oculus. And I know this sounds very old man of me. And this is very like, not in my day, we didn't do it like that. And all the kids had on an Oculus. And they were just like standing in a circle, playing whatever they were playing. And I got up to get a beer, whatever I did. And I just walked by their little circle. And one of the kids wasn't even saying it to anybody. He was just saying it to himself. He just like was so passionate, like, man. I wish I could live in the metaverse forever.
Oh my
and
God.
I walked by and I was like, that's the most depressing thing I've ever heard.
No.
Oh my God.
That is terrible.
That's terrible. Awful. How sad.
Yeah. Like,
that's really sad.
The internet is great. I think about like how many people found those communities that you talk about. Cause like if you were from like if you had a niche interest or a nerdy thing and wasn't very popular, you couldn't find anybody. Now you can find millions of people who all agree with that, you know?
Yeah.
And so you find your niche. And
see,
so, like,
Harry
so
Potter.
Yeah, right.
Harry
right.
Potter, I mean, their online world.
The nerds, like the nerd culture took over everything. It's like, you know, all that stuff that was like lame and you had to like sports or, you know, mainstream stuff. It was like, no, now it's about wizards and vampires and, you know, dragons and card games and all that stuff. Pokemon, all those things. So that's like the internet's great for that.
Yeah.
But then there's the other side of it where it's like, that's dark. I don't know.
Stay away from that.
What did you with your kids growing up, did you have like rules with the internet?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I mean, my kids are 19 and 17. So if you think about 17 years ago, no iPads, really.
Yeah.
iPads were brand new. Mm-hmm.
Right.
So we didn't have like a device in front of them because that's just wasn't happening yet.
Yeah.
So that's kind of a luxury, I guess. Now, if you think about it, we didn't have to deny them that because it wasn't really, the way it worked.
Right.
And then once they got old enough to have an iPad, I think they were probably like fourth grade, something like that. And I was very much like, you get an hour. That's it. And you can set, you know, like screen time on your devices.
Yeah,
and I set it and had a password that they couldn't get in. I'm like, use the hour however you want, but you get 1 hour, dude.
Yeah.
I'm a big boundary person with our kids. I always have been. If it were up to Bert, they'd be like free range, throw some food on the floor and good luck, you know, and go to bed whenever you want to go to bed. You don't have to bathe for a month. I don't. You know? So I was very like, no, we're not doing that. You know, we're sitting at the table, we're having a conversation and everybody's device is gone. And, you know, as devices got more prevalent in life and they got older, it got a little harder to regulate because then you go, well, this is, in the pandemic is really when it got harder.
Yeah.
Because in the pandemic,
what are you gonna deny them? The only thing they have?
Yeah. It's their only outlet. Yeah. And then we haven't really course corrected after that because by the time we got out of the internet, they were both in high school and playing sports and busy. And when they weren't busy, they just wanted to zone out.
Yeah. I kind of feel though, like, you know, I feel like kids are so doing so many things these days that like, a little zone out is okay.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, like, I think a little bit.
Yeah.
I think the problem that I see, I have friends and family members that have kids that are like 5 or 6 years old who've had a device basically since birth.
Mm-hmm.
And that I see them having a hard time transitioning off of it.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So once they're on it, the getting off of it is such a like power struggle.
Yeah.
That I would be like, yeah, you get that like right before bed
right.
or something. Because I would not want to do that all day long. You need to be bouncing a basketball. You need to be playing with a Barbie doll. You need to be something in your imagination. And then you can have it. You know, it's like eating a healthy meal before you get dessert.
Yeah, right. You can't just have dessert.
You can't just start with dessert. And then, of course, you're not going to want to eat broccoli.
Yeah.
That's what my my grandfather used to do to us. And we used to have like a lot of big dinners at his house. And when we were kids, we used to want to go watch TV or go play, whatever it was. And we'd always, you know, when you're a kid, you finish dinner before the parents, they're all sitting there drinking and stuff like that. And if we wanted to get up from his table, we had to entertain him. And,
how funny.
And so it would be, it could be a story. It was usually a story. And that family in particular was a big storytelling family. And it was always like, okay, John Henry, you want to get up? Regale the table with a tale. And but sometimes
grooming you to be a podcaster, bro.
Exactly. That's actually one of my questions. I'm glad you brought that up.
And it was like it had to get a laugh or it had to be interesting. You couldn't be like, I don't know, school was fine. See you later.
Yeah.
And so you'd fucking lay it all out there because you wanted to go watch TV.
Right? That's great. Like brilliant.
That's awesome.
That was one of my questions is like, you guys are so curious as human beings. Curiosity is such a cool personality trait to have, to be curious.
Yeah.
And I wanted to know what in your family dynamic or your family culture created you. And that's one piece is that you had to tell a story to go watch TV.
Yeah.
That's totally a piece, whether you realize 100%. It or not.
I wrote a college paper about that.
Yeah.
Did you really?
Yeah. Because I was like,
that's
it was like talking about like, you know, things that formed you or whatever. And I was like, my grandfather not allowing us up from the table was a humongously important piece of my life.
Totally. Had to be. Yeah. But anything else come to mind that might have formed you into who you are today?
I mean, my mom is a crazy person. So when I...
Good crazy? Yeah. Oh, crazy.
Well,
crazy.
Yeah, it depends on if you're on the right side of it or the wrong side of it. But there are times where, you know, because when I'm on the... When I'm like in my regular life, I feel like I'm pretty laid back. I'm actually like pretty quiet usually in like social settings. I'm just kind of turned off, you know, turn it off when I'm hanging out. And when I'm on the internet, I'm screaming and yelling and I'm like right. bombastic and I'm being an idiot and I have like crazy opinions and I'm like, you're wrong, I'm right. And there are times where like my mom will get going, you know, screaming about whatever she's passionate about. And I'm sitting there going, yep, okay, this checks out. Yeah, this is where I come from for sure.
Game, you know? Recognized game.
Yeah, yeah. It's, whether it's stubborn or just like over the top or whatever, I'm like, oh, I never had a shot to be normal. But I, you know, parlayed it into something good. So I'm like, okay, cool.
Normal is not necessary.
No, normal is not necessary. You know, I
like that. Normal is not necessary.
It's not necessary. It's actually kind of boring.
Yeah. Right? My mantra in life is be normal in the sense of like, just be normal in social settings or work setting. Like, you know, there's just people who just don't get it, you know, and there are people who are. It's like you're faced with a decision at work or in the friend group or in your relationship. And it's like, the normal thing is just do this.
Yeah.
And the people who go that way, I'm like, how do you not get that? You know? So, but normal in terms of like fun and hobbies and all that stuff.
Thinking outside the box.
That's boring. Yeah.
You gotta have the ability to do both.
Yes.
Fit in when you need to fit in and stick out when you should stick out.
Yeah, totally. Yeah. Do you have any hobbies other than like consuming content?
You know, it's actually, I was just thinking about this because we talked about it fairly recently. And I think like a hobby, because we were like, maybe you were there. Maybe when the officer was on the podcast, I forget. We were talking about like, well, that's not a hobby and that's not a hobby. Like, anything you're passionate about above the normal level is a hobby.
Yeah. Like, I think they're the traditional ones that you think of.
Yeah. Like I don't paint or draw, but like I like work is a hobby of mine.
Right.
I don't clock in 9 to 5. Like I think about it all the time.
Right.
It's a hobby I enjoy.
Or do you collect anything? You know, that's a hobby. Bert collects shoes.
I had the sneaker bug for a while.
You did.
And I was happy to have it and I'm happy to get rid of it too. Cause I had like 100-something pair of sneakers and it brought me joy like every time I would get a rare pair that was like cool or rare or expensive. And then there were times just right off the shelf that I just want that one. But then it got silly where I was just like, I don't even know what to do with these. I'm not even wearing half of them anymore. Right. So I was happy to transition out of that. But it definitely, it was for sure like a collection vibe more than it was anything. It was like, it started from like, I wanted those shoes when I was a kid and my mom wouldn't get them for me or I couldn't afford them. And now I can.
Right.
So I like it scratched that itch. And then it just got stupid for adult white guy to be buying some of the shoes I was buying.
Right.
But other than that, like I do think that's the one thing I lacked. Like I don't work out and go to the gym. I should have done that.
You should start doing that now.
Yeah, I know.
As a 53, almost 4-year-old that started 4 years ago working out with a trainer, I wish I'd been doing this for years.
Yeah, it's hard to catch back up.
Yeah. But now that I've started now and I can tell, I guess maybe the good part is my, like, things were getting harder that shouldn't be hard. Mm-hmm. Like, just getting up off the floor.
Right. Oh, my God. Like, when we get up off the couch when we're done podcasting, I feel bad for our editors who have the headphones on because it's...
exactly.
Up or down. It's just noises coming out of our body.
Exactly.
But when do you like... I mean, you really have to make time for it. He's really good about it. Like, he always goes... But I'm like...
It has to be non-negotiable.
Yeah.
It has to be
a part,
like,
of your life.
I take a bath. I brush my teeth. I do my laundry. I work out with a trainer. Or, you know, maybe you don't have to work out with a trainer.
I'm going
to
need
a trainer. Because I will cheat on myself constantly. All the time. I'll just be like, 30 minutes. halfway.
I never got that. I think it's a problem of mine is that, like, when I do things, I do them...
100. All the way.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But like, so like when I'm at the gym and I see someone on their phone, I'm like, what are you even doing? Why are you sitting there, dude? What's the point of being here? Like, it's not gym class. You don't have to be here. Go home.
Yeah.
Do some squats. Yeah. What's wrong with you?
Look, Bumble knows you're exhausted by dating. All the must not take yourself too seriously and 6-1 since that matters. And what do I even say other than hey? Well, that's why they're introducing an all-new Bumble with exciting features to make compatibility easier, starting the chat better, and dating safer. They've changed, so you don't have to. Download the new Bumble now.
But the...
you know what's next. You know there are going to be people in the gym wearing the Vision. Oh, you know God. You're going to see some guys... Like lifting and, you know, putting in their stats, like sitting at the gym like this.
But you can't
see. You should just walk up to them and punch them in the goggles. Just hit the
now
goggles.
But the Apple thing now you can see through also, right?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah.
Thank God.
Yeah.
I would be the person on that Instagram that ran into her microwave.
Yeah, that was crazy.
Wasn't that crazy? Yeah.
You see that? She was playing some game and she started to run and smashed into the stove and the microwave glass shattered. It was like,
it was said,
the caption was like, my mom's first virtual reality experience was not good. It's like, you're telling me, dude. They were like, oh my God, mom. That was crazy.
When you were talking about starting exercising again, I have a question. Was in your experience the second time, are you more about it for your body or for mental?
It's about longevity.
Longevity?
Yeah. So I guess that's about my body.
Yeah.
But it's not necessarily about how my body looks.
Yeah.
It's about how I feel.
Yeah. That's an important switch, I think.
That was the big switch too. Like I used to work out, like I wanted a 6-pack for the beach and stuff like that. And like I've noticed, you know, I've always been like active my whole life, but in the last year or so, I've been more committed to it. And it's been a lot more like, I just feel better today.
I feel so much better.
I don't care, like looking in the mirror. It feels nice that I think I look better.
Right.
But like it is, I'm not worried about going to spring break or anything like that. I'm happier today.
Totally. You know what is interesting in my last 4 years? We have these two big dogs. We have, you know, one's 112 pounds, one's 155. And the 155 pound dog outweighs me by a lot. And there's been a couple times where I've been walking him and he's like taken off after a squirrel and I wasn't paying attention. Usually I pay attention and I can like brace myself. But there's been a couple times where I'm like, do-do-do, and he's like jerked me like ass over tea kettle, bad falls, and I get up thinking I'm hurt. Yeah. And I'm not.
You're
hurt.
Not.
Yeah.
And it's because I work out.
Yeah,
right.
100%.
My aunt did the same exact thing too late though. She has a greyhound and it took off, pulled her, broke her wrist. And she's like, I got to get it together.
You got to get together. Yeah. So yeah, it's like once you, it's so cliche, but trust me, cliches are sometimes from truth.
Mm-hmm.
When you get 50, things just start changing.
Mm-hmm.
So if you can get in it before you get to 50, I think the change looks a lot different.
Yeah.
50, if you've already been working out, because working out doesn't mean you're like a lunatic, but just get yourself on the treadmill, get yourself do some strength training. Because once you hit 50, I mean, Bert's 51 and made this change, right?
Yeah.
Because his blood work changed.
Yeah, something.
At 51. Right. So.
I just hate it.
Do you hate it? Well, what do you hate about it?
I hate the whole thing. I hate doing it. I hate the way I feel afterwards. I hate the time it takes. I don't get any satisfaction out of it. I'm like, I'm so jealous of the people who like it. And I, so I'm like, when I do dumb internet shit all day and then I have the kids and I'm doing this and that, and then it's like the last thing, I have like one sliver of the day and the last thing I want to do is work out.
Is work out.
And I have very little, what's the word?
Motivation?
Yeah, motivation and...
No incentive to change?
Yeah, I'm just like, I don't... I let myself cheat. You know, I'm just like,
yeah,
I'll do it tomorrow or I'll do it next week or I'll do it next year, and it's been 10 years of that, you
right.
know? But I'm like,
who really works out anyway?
Yeah, yeah.
A real thing? I don't know. That's funny. I want to ask you a question.
Yeah.
You don't have to answer it.
I'll answer pretty much anything.
Okay.
Yeah.
So after all the stuff with your wife, what did you learn?
Oh, boy.
That's a good question.
Yeah, there's a lot of things. I learned... I think I got myself in that situation by not really being honest and like doing what I needed to do. Like I made a lot of mistakes, but not the mistakes that people probably think I'm talking about. Like
right.
everything before that was like, I should have spoke up there. Mm-hmm. I should have done this differently. I should have changed that. So those were a lot of things that I was trying to be like a people pleaser and trying to, thinking I was doing it right. And I think I was doing it all wrong, mm-hmm. you know? And unfortunately it kind of took something of that magnitude before it was too late at that point, to make me realize that, you know? So sometimes it's one of those things, it's like, you can't in the moment, you don't realize it until it's too late or mm-hmm. whatever. But I think what I, and that might have come kind of from my family dynamic of kind of like happy wife, happy life. And like, mm-hmm. this is just how relationships go. And this is just how life goes. And I was like, I probably should have not done that. I probably should have recognized that that's not going to work for me. So I need to change some things. And I didn't. And I think we rushed into kids and, you know, there's a bunch of just other things that were just, I don't think we knew what we were doing. You know, yeah, we rushed into yeah. a lot of stuff. I think I very much mishandled the job. The job became, you know, I became something I never thought it was going to be.
Mm-hmm.
And I think I needed to like address that more. Be like, it's not going to be what, you know, like my life is going to be different now. And so it was a very much like when I was doing good at work, things at home were bad. Mm-hmm. And if I was working on things at home, work was suffering.
Mm-hmm.
So I never really figured out that balance, and I probably could have done a better job of being like, I have to figure this out. Do it, you know?
Yeah.
Rather than just being like, I don't want to get in trouble here. I don't want to get in trouble there. Yeah. Just getting ping ponged around. I need that. That was very like probably childish of me. I needed to just be like, this is how it's going to fucking be for you, for her, for me, yeah, for everything,
yeah.
you know? But you know, it kind of was too late at that point for that to be fixed. So I'm just right. kind of applying that going forward as now, best as I can, you know? Yeah.
So the lesson is what? Speak up when you need something is the lesson like.
Yeah. I mean, it's.
So I think these lessons, I bring it up because like I said before, I think people listening can learn
mm-hmm.
when everybody makes mistakes. Some of them are huge and some of them are tiny.
Yeah.
But how you process what happens after a mistake, I think is almost more important than the mistake itself.
Yeah.
Because if you make the mistake and you don't process it and you don't learn from it, then what was it for?
Yeah.
You know, it,
yeah.
it has to be something, and I mean for you, because you deserve that lesson.
Yeah.
That lesson is a positive, is a gift.
Right.
If you frame it the right way.
Sure. I mean, you might as well frame it that way
because
you're not going to get anything good out of it.
For anything that you do yeah. that's a mistake.
I also think that, you know, there's reasons for, like, there's, you don't want to make excuses, but there are reasons why things happen.
Of course.
So, like, get to the root of that, figure that out. And, like, that helped me a little bit, almost being like, you know, it wasn't like on a whim. I did something, you know, it was like there was a lot underneath this
mm-hmm.
that I didn't address, and like, don't let that happen again. So like going forward, I've been like very honest about a lot of things with everybody professionally, friendship wise, family wise, like I lay a lot more stuff on the line where I'm just like, yes, no, this is how it is. I can't do that. I can do this. You know, it's still, I think, inherently in me to just be like Irish Catholic, like push your feelings aside and yeah. do the work or totally. Push your feelings aside and make the kids happy or whatever. But I at least try to like, you know, stand up for myself a little more. And not for me. Just, this is going to be better for everybody because
right.
if I go down this road, it's going to be at one point something we can't fix at all. I'd rather have it be a little thing now than a huge thing down the road.
That's so. A huge thing to learn. Yeah. I'd rather it be a little thing now than a huge thing. I think yeah. confrontation is so scary for people.
Mm-hmm.
And confrontation doesn't have to be, you asshole.
Yeah.
It can just be, this is what I need.
Yeah.
And for some people, that's confrontational to just say.
I think for guys, that's tough.
I think it is for some guys.
Yeah.
And for... It's
I'm sure for
almost
everybody.
Impossible for me
yeah.
to go, yeah. Hey, Bert,
different
this is what
story.
I need.
Yeah.
And so I completely relate
yeah.
to being faced with the choice of that small confrontation or a behavior that just distracts me from it so I don't have to deal with it.
Yeah.
Whatever that behavior is, eating candy bar when you shouldn't be. It doesn't have to be anything major.
Yep.
But the lesson that you're talking about, it sounds to me like you're what you did after those experiences was to decide to take those small confrontations for the greater good.
I try. Yeah. That is probably the hardest thing for me. I still very much am, you know, I'll pacify this or I'll push off that. Like it's still not, doesn't come easy, but when it really starts to matter, I'll be like, all right, I gotta say it now or yeah.
Yeah. That's awesome.
Yeah.
How does that make you feel that you've realized that and that you're learning that lesson?
I definitely feel like I remember being like, I don't think you're like an adult until you have like a job. And then I was like, oh, I don't think you're an adult until you're married and you go through that. And then after that, I was like, it's not about marriage. It's about when you have kids. That's when you become an adult. And I almost feel like I had to go through something pretty bad to grow up, to be like, mm-hmm. And I don't think that, you know, you have to go through something bad to become an adult. But in some cases, I was like, okay, now I am an adult. Like, I have to handle this. I have to fix this or go forward in a way that is, you know, as best I can. And that was probably the first time that I was, like, really acting like an adult after all that. Yeah.
It's the same as Bert's blood work.
Right.
I mean, it really is.
Right.
Less lawyers like, involved.
Okay. But- yes. Exactly. Exactly. Yes. Yeah.
Oh, man. Yeah.
Yeah. That's interesting that's your takeaway also is something like that had to happen for you to shift into this kind of adult
I don't want to say had to happen. It just, that's how it did.
That's how it did.
Yeah.
Thank you for talking about that.
Sure.
Yeah. I appreciate it. I think that's really powerful.
Yeah. I mean, I tried my best to just, I had no idea how to move forward. So I just try my best. So I'm like, sometimes I don't know if I should talk about it. Should I not talk about it? I don't know what to say, what not to say, but I just try my best. So
trying your best is all you can do.
All you can
do. Right? That's all anybody can ask of you.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Your kids,
totally.
Anybody.
Yeah.
It's just to try your best. And sometimes your best is not enough. Sometimes your best sucks.
Yeah.
But if it's your best, then
it's
you
literally
you're
like,
free.
Yeah.
You're free of worrying
right.
about it and going, okay,
right.
well, I did my best.
As long as you honestly are telling, like, you or really do know you tried. Like,
totally.
Because sometimes it's like, yeah, I tried my best. Like, no, you didn't.
Yeah. So, right. Well, your
really,
best sucks.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sometimes
I tried
best
my best.
Sucks.
No,
yeah,
I hogged a squat rack from that guy while I sent texts.
I can definitively say in my marriage, I probably did not honestly do my best and get my best. But afterwards, I am trying as hard as I absolutely can to try to make it work now.
Right.
And
right.
it's a shame that that happened that way.
Right.
And there's still a whole bunch of shit that's always, it's messy and it's hard, but I'm like, I am trying so hard here.
Well, there's this great book that I read a long time ago, and I don't know that you need the book, but the title of the book made you just reminded me of what you're saying. It's called Strong at the Broken Places, right? So when you have a broken place, it almost always grows back stronger.
Mm-hmm.
Broken bone, anything like that.
Like that.
So if you allow that growth, then you become really strong at the broken places.
Mm-hmm.
I believe that. Very much. So
cool. I like that.
That's really
that's
cool.
A good one to keep in mind.
Strong at the broken places, man.
Yeah.
So we all got some broken places, don't we?
Yeah.
Some or two. So what's something you guys haven't done that you want to do?
Ooh. That's a great question.
I love that you told me I had two great questions. Yeah.
I desperately do want to get in shape. I keep saying that.
How?
I would.
How do you do that with the all-encompassing hatred you just described?
I know. That sucks.
It's nearly impossible.
I keep thinking at some point I'll like get a trainer and do it because I really would love it.
Well, here's what I'll say about that. I work out with two girlfriends and we have a fucking blast.
Yeah.
We have a team name. We call ourselves Drop Squad. And we are like,
yeah, so that's
ride or die
into something you enjoy.
Together.
Yeah.
Our trainer is a half hour drive from our house. So I pick everybody up and we bullshit for half an hour. We bullshit in the hour workout and we bullshit on our way home.
Like
and
that.
It is the most fulfilling pieces of my week are when I hit Drop Squad and I'm getting in shape.
Yeah,
we have so much fun and we're so busy. The three of us are all so busy. We are not ladies that lunch. We don't have time.
Right. Mm-hmm.
But we're going to make the time to work out anyway.
Right.
So that's our ladies who lunch.
That's a much better version of ladies who lunch. Sometimes
awesome.
Ladies who lunch, it's like.
But maybe you need
girls.
Something like that.
Yeah. No, I definitely need something like that where it's like.
So fun.
It's like creating your own team. Like I started exercising when I would work out with my team and we'd listen to music and we'd dance. And like,
exactly.
I still think back of that when exercising.
Yeah.
It's smart to, I guess people do that. I'm thinking about like workout classes. Like I guess they exist.
Yeah.
But like it is cool.
I wish I see the Peloton classes and people do love them. Like,
it's not the same. No, what we do, we are like Drop Squad for life. We have so much fun in that car.
Maybe I'll just join their squad.
Yeah.
I'll just go with the
ladies.
We
would love it.
Honestly, that's probably the right workout level for me anyway.
That's funny. So what's something you want to do you haven't done yet?
Mine would probably be live in a foreign country.
Really?
Whoa. Yeah. We were actually just talking about, we just did our podcast earlier and we talked about, I like to travel a lot and stuff like that. And I did a few months in Spain when I was young and I really liked that. And I think I would like to do that. I did a summer. So like 3 months and I was really young. I was like 17. And
that's so cool.
Yeah, it was awesome.
Awesome. What'd you learn from that?
I learned girls from URI put out.
That's amazing. I love it.
I learned
You probably didn't learn anything at that point. You would learn so much more doing it now than at 17. That's the thing. You
know? I learned Spanish a lot because your mind is so, such a sponge that, not even quite a little late after that. But I was 16. I was 16 and I came back. I spoke fluent Spanish. So Spanish, a given. I guess I learned a lot of responsibility because I lived with like a billet family and I was taking classes. And so I would have to go. I had my friend with me, but like I live myself.
Right.
So I guess I learned responsibility and things like that. excuse me. I learned siestas are humongously important in the Spanish culture.
Really?
Yeah.
Wouldn't
that be nice, right?
Right.
No, they're nice when you want one, but
we all agreed to it though.
But
as a culture, we all just said let's take naps.
But no, so what that means is as a culture, you have to agree. We're not having dinner till 10 p.m. We're going out till 3 a.m.
That's true.
Because like on a regular day, you don't need a nap at 3 p.m. or 2 p.m. Like you have stuff to do.
Yeah.
And learning that how the entire country shuts down, because most days I didn't need a nap. And we'd be like, let's go to a bar. Let's go to rent a movie. Like it was 2004, 2005, something like that. Like Blockbuster was still kicking.
Right.
And like everything would be closed. So I learned that if you drink a lot of whiskey at 3 p.m, you fall asleep pretty good.
One way to do it. Assisted siesta.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Our billet mom found a bottle of whiskey under our bed and was like, what is wrong with you? Like, what is wrong with you? Why do you keep making us go to bed at 3 p.m?
Why are you sleeping? I grew up in a real small town that everything closed at noon on Wednesday.
Really?
Everything in the town because everybody went to church Wednesday night.
Wow.
So everything would close so they could go home. And get ready for church.
Wow. No kid. Why Wednesday nights?
Singing.
Mm-hmm. What
Baptist.
Denomination? Baptist.
Southern Baptist.
Now, you know what I learned recently is that do Baptists do the sign of the cross?
No.
No.
You talking about this thing?
Yes.
No.
That's crazy. So I thought that was all Christians.
No, it's Catholic.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't know if it's someone other than Catholic, but it's definitely not Southern Baptist. No.
I was in Arkansas recently and I did, they said they did grace at the table and I did grace. And then after grace, I made the sign of the cross. And the next morning, one of the guys was like, hey man, I saw you Catholic, you cradle or convert. And I was like, how did you know that? He's like, you did the sign of the cross.
That's the only thing.
And I was like, I 100% thought it was just all Christians.
No. Well,
that's probably pretty Catholic of me. Like the whole world
very
is
very Catholic.
Yeah, I was going to say, we're the assholes.
I think it's part of the reason we started this country, but I don't know. Yeah. Pretty sure it was maybe about that.
Like, fuck the Catholic.
But yeah, in the South, or at least in the community I grew up in, everyone's really suspicious of Catholics.
Really?
Yeah.
How come?
Well, because we're terrible.
We're deserving.
We're rapists and stealers and drinking.
Yeah, of course.
No way.
Yes, when Bert and I got married, we had to choose between drinking or dancing in my Southern Baptist church. And my dad had to go to the deacon and be like, hey, he's a Catholic. And they were like, he's Catholic? My grandmother told me Catholicism was a cult.
No way.
Your grandma's right.
Yeah, she's not wrong.
Straight up. She's like, that's a cult. It's a billion member. Person cult. You realize cult. You're marrying someone who's in a cult.
Yeah.
And I was like, okay, mama, I got you. But yeah, we had to talk the church into letting us, we could have beer and wine only.
Really?
And he's like, we got all these people come down from Pennsylvania, all these Yankees, and they're all Catholic. So we got to be hospitable.
Yeah.
And they want no drinking at the wedding at all, right? It's a dry county. So we had to like go across the county line to buy the beer and the wine. And then, yeah, it's a small town.
Boy, did you marry the wrong
guy, right? Like,
believe it or not, everybody loves him now. But in the beginning, I mean, our wedding reception was so funny because all my Southern Baptist people are surrounding the dance floor, watching the crazy ass Catholics just throw down. And it's just such a clear, like, well, there's Leanne's family.
Yeah.
And here's Albert's family. And I was dancing with the Catholics. Yeah. I was dancing with the Catholics.
I remember how old I was, or like around when I learned that JFK was the only Catholic president. And I was like, what are you talking about?
I know. Right? I thought everybody would have been Catholic.
Like Catholic.
Yeah. Isn't that crazy? Yeah.
And I'm just learning now. I thought it was, from what I'd heard, was the country was scared that he would take too much from the Pope. And I don't know if there's any truth to that or not.
Right.
But I didn't know that anybody thought the Catholics were people worth being suspicious of. Again, this is my privilege speaking. But
Catholic
the
privilege.
This stuff comes in and they're like, what's happening?
Yeah. What gets a little weird.
I don't know. Yeah, sure. You're probably drunk already. Yeah.
Yeah, probably right. Right.
Don't listen to anything he says. He's drunk. What about you? Something you want to do you haven't done yet?
I think I just started it, actually. My kids started playing sports and I just kind of started showing up as like a dad on the side, and then kind of started to coach a little more. And then when the head coach is away, I'm kind of like taking the reins, and I think I'm enjoying that.
That's
Yeah.
Did you like have thoughts of that when you?
No.
Not. I'm sure when you had Keegan and you and Shay to an extent, you thought of it. But like before that, when we were.
No. Yeah. Like I never was like, I want to be a dad and I want to be a coach. I just always kind of was like, I'll just go with the flow and see where it takes me. And then even when I had kids, I was like, I don't want to be a coach and deal with like the sports culture.
Yeah. You know?
But I'm finding that like, at least where I am, that it's not as crazy sports culture, and that the people who are like that are kind of like, people are like,
I think you're still a little young.
Yeah.
Like, when you start seeing like, when the parents start seeing like, well, my kid might be pretty good.
Yeah. So yeah, we'll see. Maybe. That could definitely be. I don't want to do like AAU coaching or high school coaching.
Right. No.
So, but you can only coach little kids when you have little kids.
Right.
You can't be like, all right, you guys go up to varsity. I'm going to stay here with these other people's kids.
No, that's fucking weird. No.
So at least maybe I'll get a few years out of that, which I think could be cool. And then, I mean, in everything we do here, I'm like, can I do some sort of, I don't know, coaching content or podcast or videos or whatever like that.
Right.
So, yeah.
What sport is it?
Baseball and basketball for my son. I don't like coach the girls' sports, but my daughter is very good at dance and gymnastics. So I'm like there for that.
Right.
And I can be hands-on with the boy stuff.
Right.
So I'll probably be more of a crazy I feel like I'm like at gymnastics. I'm like almost the crazy dad.
Really?
Not like crazy, but I'm like. It's like it's so ridiculous to me that like Shay can like do flips and shit. Yeah, and I'm like, she nailed it. Like that's a 10.0. That's a 10.
That's my baby girl. That's my baby girl. Yeah. That's so great. Peter, how long have we been going?
You're just about to hit an hour. Do you guys have an hour?
Yeah, I gotta get to over. Can we switch over to
Wrap it up.
Yeah.
And then let me say thank you.
Yeah.
Perfect. Thank you
so much for having us. This
it was
amazing.
So fun.
Incredible. I don't get asked questions a lot.
No?
That was amazing. Yeah. I love that.
We don't really
thank you were so great. Yeah.
That makes me so happy. Yeah.
We're not
as
guests
I have
very
to
often.
Say,
yeah.
I was super nervous.
Really?
Did I look nervous?
No,
I was
not,
so
at all.
Nervous.
Not at
so
all.
So when Victoria was like, so I have a KFC radio, and I was like, you're joking, right? Like, they don't want to come on my, they don't want me. Are you serious? Oh, yeah. She was like, yeah. And I was like, oh my God.
No way.
I got to really figure out my game here. I've been deep diving everything. I got a list of questions. I'm like, So super nervous, but thank you so
this
much.
This is a true honor. Thank you so
really
much for
fun.
Having us.
Yeah. Thank you.
We'll just keep it rolling for ours.